Blog Talk Radio.
The Knicks, we don't lose in a home arena.
Say, go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York!
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. Glad to be on the show with you, as always.
Hey, glad to be on, as usual.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you all for listening, tuning in. On today's show, we're going to talk about, you know, sports, entertainment, everything else. And specifically, we're going to talk about R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickly's return to the Garden against the Knicks, of course. You know, we'll talk about, you know, the Mets announcement about Daryl and Doc, the dates of them officially getting their numbers retired and finally getting the closure that they richly deserve. I'll get into that. We'll talk a little bit about the Hall of Fame. The announcement's going to come down this Tuesday. Talk about that. You know, we'll talk about WWE, you know, the big injury with Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, and Dana Brooke. They made their recent debuts with TNA. And, you know, we'll talk about, and we'll, of course, we'll preview the Royal Rumble that's going to go down next week. So, you know, stay tuned to that. And, you know, if you would like to talk about any of these topics and more, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics or more. As always, November 2009, we'd love to hear from you. So with that said, yeah, man, let's tip off with a NBA basketball right here. And the New York Knicks, you know, today was a very special day. A day, you know, prior to 3 weeks ago, we wouldn't have circled on the calendar. But, of course, we all know why it's a big deal. And 3 weeks ago, the Knicks made a blockbuster trade, sending R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley to the Raptors. In exchange, the Knicks got back O.G. Anunoby and, you know, Precious Achiuwa and Malachi Flynn, to say the least. And ever since then, the Knicks have been winning. I think, what, the Knicks are like, what, 9 or 10-2 now? Like,
something like that.
Yeah, the Knicks have been impressive. Most impressive, you know, how they've been playing. They've been playing defense. They've been holding teams to under 100 several times. They literally held the Raptors to literally 100 points, you know, today. And they basically, the Raptors scored 100 points, you know, like, very late in the game. They were holding down under to 100 most of the game. So probably like, what, 50 seconds left into the game. So when they scored the 100 point. But yeah, what more can we say? You know, Brunson, he had, what, 38, 39 points, 9 assists. Randall had a triple-double. What was it again? I'm trying to remember his points. Was it 18? Let me see what it was. Let me go check quickly. 18 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. This was Randall's first triple double of the year. He had several last year. Brunson. Yeah, Brunson was 1 point shy of having another 40-point game, and a assist shy of having a 10 assists, which would have made him have a double-double, I should say, with 5 rebounds.
Brunson has been playing out of his mind.
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa, I think he had like 16 points, 11 rebounds off the bench or so.
Oh, yeah, this was Precious' best game as a Knicks so far.
Yeah, he was very precious to the Knicks
today.
And even Flynn knocked down a three late in the game. And, you know, in the losing effort, Barrett scored 20 points, had eight rebounds, four assists. And quickly he had a double-double, 12 points, 11 assists, two rebounds. So, yeah, they got a great standing ovation. And to Barrett's surprise, they even got a tribute video. So, yeah, Mac, what do you think about – do you think the tribute video was too much since, I mean, these guys didn't take us off final or
win a championship? No, I thought it was okay. I thought it was okay. I mean, these were homegrown guys. These were homegrown guys that came up in the Knicks organization. We drafted them, and they played here for, 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they became fan favorites. So I don't think the tribute was too much. I think it was warranted. I think it was a perfect way to welcome these guys back to the Garden, to the New York fans. And I thought it was a good moment, a special moment for them. You know, I think it was a thing that the Knicks did it.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly because, like you said, they're homegrown guys. You know, they're fan favorites, especially quickly. Barrett was a fan favorite, but it was more so like, you know, the fans were really pulling for him, but they were hoping, they wanted more from him, you know. But, you know, as a Knick, he never fulfilled his destiny, you know, as being, you know, a potential star / superstar. You know, he was always the third banana with the team, you know, once Brunson came and elevated the team. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's definitely well-warranted. They're homegrown Knicks. They're both guys who loved playing at the Garden for the fans. You know, they played the game the best way they could. And, you know, the fans loved them. They got along great with the organization. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see a problem with them giving them a tribute. It wasn't like they were, you know, guys who just played half a season with the team and, you know, they were malcontents. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I totally agreed that, you know, the tribute was deserving.
Yours.
And Anunoby, I think his number before today's game, his point differential to the team winning was like over 170, which was like the highest in NBA history since they've been keeping stats on that.
Wow.
But Anunoby, man, he changed, just like how Brunson did. Like he just took us to a whole other level.
Yeah, he's definitely changed the dynamic of this team, especially defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, since we got him, we've been playing much better defense.
Mhm. And
I think he had what
14 points. 14.7 rebounds and assist in 37 minutes.
Okay.
And Josh Hart, you know, he's been battling injuries recently, but he still put up 10 points and 9 rebounds. DiVincenzo scored 17. Precious Achiuwa, correction, he scored 18 points and 11 rebounds. I mean, I think I said it was probably 14 or 16. I mean, it wasn't that far off, but, you know. But, yeah, all in all, Knicks, you know, they played brilliantly.
Yeah. They've been playing good basketball lately.
Repeat that?
They've been playing good basketball lately.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can ask for. And the Knicks improved to 26-17, whereas the Raptors, they fall to 16-27. So I think the Knicks are like 10-2 in these last couple of games, if I'm not mistaken, and the Raptors fall to 4-7 after the trade. So
it's still early, so you know, definitely tough to tell who won that trade. But so far, Knicks are looking like they're doing real well since this trade. So.
Oh yeah. And then Tuesday night they're going to be in Brooklyn against the Nets. Thursday they're going to be hosting the world champion Nuggets.
That should be a fun one.
Yeah, that should definitely be a fun matchup right there. Heat. They're going to be facing the Heat on Saturday, next Saturday. And then next Monday is they're going to be on the road against the Hornets. They're going to host the Jazz on the 30th. That's basically all the games that they're going to have, this month. And then some games to keep your eye open. February 1st, they got the Pacers, after the Pacers made the Siakam trade. And then on Saturday, February 3rd, they're going to be hosting the Lakers. So, you know, those are going to be some very interesting games right there.
Yeah, definitely.
As we approach the trading deadline, which would be February 8th, which would be the same day the Knicks are going to be playing the Mavericks. And sandwiching between the Laker and Maverick game, they're going to be hosting the Grizzlies. So, yeah, the Knicks, they've got some interesting matchups coming up. They got the Nets game coming up next. They're going to host the Nuggets, the Heat, the Lakers and Pacers next month. So, yeah, the Knicks are going to have, you know, people are going to have no choice but to put respect on the Knicks' name. But, Hartenstein is he's hurt. So that's a bummer right there. Him and Mitchell Robinson center, they both played well when they were healthy. But now we're going to need Precious to step up like he did in this game off the bench.
Do we know how severe it is?
I don't know yet. Let me see if I can find out.
Hopefully it's nothing major that will keep him out, keep him sidelined for weeks.
I hope not either. Let me see.
His Hartenstein was playing really well.
Yeah, he tweaked his left ankle. He has a left ankle soreness. So hopefully it's not serious.
Might have to call Taj Gibson back.
We might. We might have to, or initiate the trades that they were thinking about doing.
Yeah.
But excuse me. You know, all in all, it's great to see the Knicks. You know, they are they're finally, you know, playing to their potential.
Yeah, no, they're looking really good now. They're looking to take that fourth place from the Cavs. Right now the Cavs have a hold on that fourth place in the Eastern Conference. So the Knicks are right behind the Cavs.
Yeah, man. They go New York, man. Let's keep this up. And then on the other side, you know, you got the Nets. They recently played that Paris game last week, but yesterday they defeated the Lakers 130-122. They lost to the Trailblazers on Wednesday night 105-103, and then they lost to the Heat 96-95, and then they also lost to the Cavaliers, the aforementioned Cavaliers, 111-102. So yeah, tomorrow afternoon they're gonna face the Clippers in LA, play us Tuesday night, host the Timberwolves on the 25th, host the Rockets, host the Jazz, host the Suns, and then on the 3rd, they're gonna be in Philadelphia against the 76ers. And then on the 5th, they're going to host the Warriors. So that's some interesting matchups. They're going to be hosting a lot of West Coast teams coming up. And then not to mention they're facing us on Tuesday. So
I heard that even the Knicks are looking to trade for Mikal
Brooks.
Yeah, from the Nets.
Yeah, they've been wanting him for years, ever since they got the Villanova team going on. Because they basically
Villanova Knicks.
Yeah, so they've been rumors about that for years. I don't think they're going to trade. I don't think the Nets are going to trade him to us, though.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Because they're basically going to say they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Because Mikal Brooks is like the star attraction they have on that team.
Him and Spencer Dinwiddie.
Well, yeah, that him too. That's another guy that they're rumored to be trying to get. The Knicks are trying to go after it too, but I don't see that coming either.
Nah.
I don't see that happening. Anytime soon.
Yeah, me either.
Sure, if ever. They're not gonna trade. They're going to trade them to us. We're going to take a little break for a few minutes. And when we come back, we'll talk about the MLB, Doc and Daryl finally going into the Hall of Fame, getting their numbers retired. And we'll talk about the Hall of Fame, the potential people who might get announced on Tuesday. So we'll talk more about that when we come back. You listen to Sports and the Legend, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Ball game.
Why do you lose all our cards? I tried my best.
Well, you lost all our cards.
Kids, good.
Go ahead, Doc. Do it.
Shea Stadium, the big story, Mets 86,
exciting, thrilling, awesome. Let's take a look.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Sports Urban Legend with your host, William Ramo, and of course, Macaulay Matthew on the other side. Yes, as you heard, meet the Mets, man, and let's go Mets. And, you know, there's some big news about the Mets. The Mets are announcing two big players in their history, two key members of the 86 team. That's finally going to have their numbers retired. First is going to be Doc Gooden. He's going to be retired on April 14th against the Kansas City Royals. And then Daryl Strawberry is going to have his number retired on June 1st against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, you know, congratulations to both men. They're finally going to get
congrats.
Number 16 and number 18 respectively retired and joining the Mets pantheon of greats that are finally getting their numbers retired. You know, it's been a long time, you know, under the Wilpons, you know, they didn't have a lot of numbers retired. They didn't have they didn't honor the past as the Mets should have. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously you all know the Mets don't have the titles that, you know, obviously, you know, the Yankees or the Cardinals or the Dodgers or you know, the teams that have been around for over 100 years have had. But the Mets have had some rich history. They've had a lot of losing seasons, you know, before, in between, and after their championship years. But Mets, you know, Mets have a very, dare I say, rich history, even though it's been sandwiched with a lot of horrible, infamous times. But when they make it to the playoffs, you know, they must-see TV. Like, you know, just the shock of the Mets actually going to the playoffs is a shocker. And when they're in the playoffs, people, the whole, you know, the city is glued to see what happened. The Mets fans are obviously there, win or lose. You know, the bandwagon fans, you know, they jump on them, you know, they jump off the Yankees bandwagon to root for the Mets. You know, the typical, you know, I root for both New York teams fans, quote unquote. And then, of course, you have the Yankee hate, the Mets haters, you know, like my friend Mac over here, you know, who just root for the Mets, and, you know, root against the Mets and want them to lose every game, even in spring training. But, you know.
That's not true.
I'm messing with you.
I don't care as much as about the Mets as you think, my friend.
I know, I'm messing with you. I'm joking.
Yeah, no.
You don't like them. I wouldn't say you hate them. But
I mean, I don't care for the Mets, really. I wouldn't say I hate the Mets, but I wouldn't say I like them either, you know. But I just focus on my Yankees, man. I just focus on my Yankees. I don't focus on other teams as much as Mets focus on the Yankees or Phillies or any of those other teams. I'll say that. That's what I'll say about that.
All right. Well, that's an opinion from a Yankee fan. So,
I mean, the Yankees fans, we do see the Mets as our little brother, yeah.
So you do, you know, you do have negative feelings for them.
It's not, I mean, it's not negative. It's just we just see you guys as our little brother. That's how it is, you know. Kind of like how the Giants see the Jets as their little brother. But, you know, we don't really hate Mets fans as much as Mets fans hate the Yankees, you know. I think it's the other way around. I think Mets hate Yankees. Mets fans hate Yankee fans more than Yankee fans hate Mets. Because the Mets fans hate Yankees, that's why Yankees fans probably don't like Mets because of that hatred.
And not to mention, Yankee fans always take cheap shots at the Mets and their fans because of
You guys are little brothers, you know. But I mean, come on, let's be honest. There's not much to hate about the Mets. I mean, Yankees with their history. I mean, let's be honest. There's, with the Yankees history, when you compare it to the Mets, what is there to hate, really? You know.
And this is my point. You're proving my point. Like,
no, I'm just saying. Let's just be real here.
Why are we comparing the teams? Like you say, your teams have, you know, more titles, but then again, your team's been around 60 years plus more than the Mets have. So you gotta have more opportunities to win.
But Mets. Let's be real. Mets fans hate Yankees more than Yankee fans hate Mets, right? Yankees.
I would say so, but then again, Yankee fans take more, you know, they talk smack about the Mets, you know, because of their shortcomings and stuff.
We treat you guys as a little brother, but we don't really see it as hatred, you know. It's more like, okay, we'll make fun of Mets. It's not a hatred like Red Sox hate, you know. I wouldn't say it's not that type of hatred, you know. But as far as hatred, who hates more? I'd say Mets fans hate Yankees more than anything.
I would agree with that.
You're always bringing the 2000 World Series for some reason. Like, a rematch is going to happen. like, the 2000 is going to happen. Like, a rematch is going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah,
so,
and it will. And it will happen.
It will happen when the Mets goes to the World Series. But as far as Mets Yankees, I mean, that happens once in a century, man. You're probably not gonna see that again.
Okay, so what about if we do see that again?
If it happens, it'll be great. But you know, it's very rare when you see two New York teams in the finals. You know, it's in any sport, really. You know, We haven't had it. We haven't really had it that much. If you since like the Dodgers and Yankees,
like
it's been a while.
56.
Yeah, that happens once every century. So maybe this century it will happen. Who knows? Maybe.
Well, it did happen this century. It happened in 2000.
What you should hope for is the Mets win the championship. It doesn't have to be a different game. Let's just say
and
that.
I agree with that.
It doesn't have to be a rematch. It could just be the Mets just winning a championship. That's it.
And that's what I want. I want the Mets to win. If it happens to be the Yankees, that makes it extra sweeter. But I just want to win a title. When the Mets was in the 2015 World Series, was I like, oh man, darn it! If it was the Yankees, man. I wanted to win.
You want that rematch so bad. It doesn't have to happen. That 2000 World Series.
Hey, I only want the rematch to happen if there's a happy ending. I don't need to lose to you guys again. I mean, I know
rematch would have to be. If there was to be a rematch, it would have to be the same player over again. That would be a legit rematch.
Well, it's too late for that. It doesn't matter.
Too late for that. Yeah, exactly. Right.
As long as it's a franchise, that's all that matters.
Unless it was like a Old Timers Day, because you guys stole our Old Timers Day. But go on.
No. We've been having old timers days since the 60s.
Oh, and when did you stop doing it and then reintroduced it again?
Yeah, because the Wilpons were cheap and they didn't want to pay the old players to come out and honor their past. That's why we don't have old timers day. But if you watch the Mets yearbooks from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, they had a bunch of old timers day. It was part of the Mets history, including Banner Day. Yeah.
Who was the only team doing old timers day as of recently?
That's because because the Wilpons were cheap. They didn't want to pay the old.
Who answer the question?
No,
who
but you said
only
you
team
had to. You
actually,
hey, you gotta do your research because the Mets have been doing Old Timers Day since
the
beginning.
Yeah, but when was the last time you guys did Old Timers Day?
Because of the Wilpons, we didn't do it since like the 90s, maybe like 93 or so.
Okay.
But before that, prior to that, they had Old Timers Day like practically every year. Plus, they had Banner Day and all those stuff. It's been since the beginning, the Mets have been doing that.
Okay.
It's the change of the ownership that caused, you know, the Mets not to honor their past. Hence why they only had, like, very few players retired. Like, they had Casey Stengel, they had Jackie Robinson, and then they had, like, Seaver and Piazza were, like, the only players that was retired for, like, a long time. Yeah, that's basically how it was, you know, for most of the time.
Someone told me that, you know, word on the street is, you know, teams, especially the Mets, just said,
let's
bring it back
up.
Well.
Wait, time out. Repeat that again. You're breaking up. I want to hear what you're saying. I heard you talking about the Mets.
I said that word on the street is that the baseball teams were tired of seeing Yankees do it every year. So they're saying, okay, let's bring out Old Timers Day back. So now you're going to see more of these teams bring it back because of the Yankees doing it every year.
And they should. And if you watch this show or listen to the show for years, since 2009, I've always said, I respect the Yankees for doing that. And I said the Mets need to go back to doing that. I've been saying that since the dawn of this show. I have the receipts to prove that I've said that. And I've always given every time there's always a Yankee Old Timers Day, I always give the Yankees credit for at least honoring their past. I've always said that. Watch every episode of the Yankees having an Old Timers Day, and I've basically said the same thing. And you were there. So that's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, so you're right. So the Yankees are inspiring these other teams to restart Old Timers Day.
And they should. And props to the Yankees for upholding that.
Yeah.
Being one of the few teams that do that. Because teams should be doing that. Look at the Bulls. The Bulls just finally honored their past. People have been criticizing the Bulls for the longest time, not honoring their past. That's why so many players, they don't, all their great players don't retire as Bulls, because they didn't honor their past. And then when they honored everybody, they honored, you know, the 90s Bulls teams. Jordan wasn't there. Pippen wasn't there. I don't even think Rodman was there. I'm not sure. But, yeah. But Jerry Reinsdorf was basically saying the only thing that would have made it perfect is if Jerry Krause was there, which is basically taking a cheap shot that, you know, about Jordan and Pippen not being there, which obviously those guys should have been there, you know, but they have bad blood because Reinsdorf, you know, this guy, you know, he made a lot of money off those Bulls teams, but he didn't appreciate them. And basically, you know, him and Krause destroyed, you know, ended the team after the second three-peat and six championship in the last eight years, you know. And, you know what I mean? So I can understand why the players, you know, have some animosity towards Jerry Krause, but, you know, that day was the day they should have been honoring their past. And then, you know, the fans, you know, because they were PO'd about what happened, they were booing Jerry Krause's widow. I think that was way over the top, because, I mean, she literally had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, the way how it went down, I mean, Jerry Krause, you know, obviously he wasn't a saint. You know, he destroyed the team and it literally said even if they won the championship, which they end up doing, you know, in the last dance, he still would have broke up the team. Which, I mean, so you have to blame him, but even more importantly, you have to blame is Jerry Reinsdorf, because Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner. The buck literally starts and stops with him. So if he had a problem with, you know, with Jerry Krause destroying the dynasty team right after the second three-peat, he could have fired Jerry Krause or basically said, hey, nope, we're gonna ride this train until the wheel falls off, you know. And then he fired what's his name? Phil Jackson, which Phil Jackson ended up going to the Lakers, you know? So Jerry Reinsdorf is even more responsible than Jerry Krause was. And then here's the baseball correlation. Jerry Krause worked behind the scenes for the Yankees and the Mets after his Bulls career. So there goes a full circle to the Mets and the Yankees. And of course, we're talking about Daryl and Doc, both guys who homegrown Mets who did it all for the Mets, you know, winning the title in 86, winning back-to-back Rookie of the Years in 83 and 84, Gooden with the Cy Young in 85, you know.
That's how when I was growing up, I had a Daryl Strawberry poster on my wall when I was growing up. As a Met, even though I wasn't really into baseball, I think my uncle put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that guy, and I used to look at that person, like, oh, he's a good baseball player, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no clue because I didn't watch baseball at the time, but I just knew that Daryl Strawberry was one of the best players in baseball at that time.
Right.
You just heard his name, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. Like, back in those days, you hear about him, you hear about Jose Canseco.
Oh, yeah.
That was before I was a baseball fan myself, too. But, yeah, you always hear about those names.
Right.
Even though, you know, I didn't follow baseball and become a Mets fan until, like, 99. So, yeah, I mean, I knew about the home run race the year prior to that, 98. And, of course, Yankees winning titles. But, I mean, at that point, it didn't – I was indifferent about it. You know, I didn't have any – feelings towards it until 99 when, you know, I felt that it should have been the Mets versus the Yankees that year instead of the Braves. And then, of course, we all know what happened the year after that. So, I mean, but...
You're
oh, yeah,
still not going to get that rematch.
Hey, like, hey, I just want to win. I just want to win a championship. Period. To be honest with you, it's almost 40 years. I mean, if we win a title against the Yankees eventually, I'll be cool with that. But as long as we beat somebody, preferably a team we've never faced before, you know. But I mean, any team would do, especially a team we've never faced or a team we've lost to. In the World Series, that'd be nice to like get that W.
Well, according to this latest predictor, whoever made this predictor, the Mets are scheduled to win the World Series in 2020. What was the year that I saw in that article?
If it's the same one I'm talking about, I saw it was 2026 against you guys.
2026, yeah.
Well, we shall see. Hopefully, it's the same people who thought Astros was going to win a championship in what 2017. So well, hopefully that. Hopefully it's the same person who made that prediction.
Maybe.
Would be nice for the prophecy to finally come true. But one prophecy we definitely know is coming true, and that's Daryl and Doc finally getting their numbers retired and finally getting the closure that they wanted. Doc was revealed that he wanted to retire with the Mets four times, but Steve Phillips, you know, and the Wilpons turned them down. You know, he was even willing, you know, he was even willing to go into the minor leagues and work his way up to prove himself. Just so he even wanted to sign a 1-day contract, but they didn't want to give him that second chance. But he's getting his second chance now. You know, he recently went to the Hall of Fame. Well, both of them did. And they're gonna get their numbers retired, so that'll end the chapter, you know, of their lives and their redemption arc. So you know, props to both of them, you know. And then of course both guys, you know, would end up ending their careers or towards the end of their careers with the Yankees. You know, Darryl ended his career in '99 with you know, the Yankees. And I'm pretty sure Doc ended his career in 2000, as a Yankee, if I'm not mistaken. I know he played with the Rays, but I'm trying to remember if that was after his last Yankee run. Let me see quickly.
I believe it was in 2001.
Yeah. Okay. He did retire as a Yankee.
Was it 2001?
No, he retired as a Yankee in 2000.
Oh, okay.
He even came out of the pen and faced the Mets in the World Series.
But then again, I don't remember him playing in 2000. Sure?
Yeah. Doc,
I think it might have been even before.
You're talking about Gooden?
No, Strawberry.
No, I'm talking about Gooden.
Oh, Gooden, okay.
No, Strawberry retired in 99.
Yeah, because I don't remember he played on the 2000 team.
No, that's what I was saying. I said, okay. Yeah, that's what I said earlier. I said Darryl retired on '99.
Ah, okay.
And I know Doc played on the 2000 team. And I was just checking to double check to make sure that it was his last year, which it was. So both guys retired with the Yankees, but both guys, you know, acknowledge and they admit that they still bleed orange and blue because that's where they, you know, they started their career. That's where most of their success came from. And
of course.
So, you know, the prodigal sons return, you know, and most importantly, you know, they buried the hatchet, you know, they're cool together. You know, they have a great relationship now. Doc was revealing that when his mother was, you know, on her deathbed, Darryl drove hours to go see with her, pray with her, and, get provide a comfort for her, you know, because, you know, Darryl is a pastor now, so.
And you've met Darryl Strawberry, too, right?
Yeah, I met him one time, you know. And it, yeah, it was good to see him, and you know, see, you know, the change of his, you know, his you know, his attitude, you know, how he was living, and you know, how he is now. So, you know, props to him, and props to Doc. You know, good in turning both their lives around. So,
definitely.
You know, happy that they're both getting that happy ending that they, you know, they deserve, because you know, obviously, you know, they were stars very young, you know, black stars, and you know, but you know, Temptation was, you know, really tugging at them in every corner, and unfortunately, as you would expect, you know, they gave into it, but you know, thank God they didn't they redeemed themselves and they didn't die in that crazy situation that they were in. So, you know, they finally grew up, and they became the men that they always aspired to be. So yeah, those 2 days are gonna be great, you know, great days in Met history.
Oh yeah.
So props to both of them. But yeah, shifting gears, the Astros, they signed what's his name again? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. The closer, a Hader. Yeah, so both Mets and Yankees were interested in him, but instead he signed a 5-year, what was it, $92 million or maybe $95 million contract to be with the Astros. So he's going to team up with Priestley. Yeah, it would have been nice if he came to the Mets. I mean, obviously, I'm sure the Yankees would have wanted him as well. But, you know, he signs with the Astros. And we shall see, you know, what the Keys and the Mets will do. I mean, you know, obviously the Yankees recently signed Stroman, had the press conference. You know, of course, capped off their season, their off season with Soto. And the Mets, on the other hand, they haven't really done anything. They signed Severino, they signed Bader, but you know, and Manaea, all three of those guys have potential to bounce back, but they don't have any star power. Free agency signings. So that's why they really need to improve, you know, get a DH, whether it's Soler or Justin Turner or JD Martinez. Because right now the offense really needs a jolt, especially in the power production. And then, of course, above all, re-signed Pete Alonso. But, yeah, we shall see. This off season seems longer than usual because the Mets ain't doing nothing, as opposed to the last couple of years, which amounted to nothing. But we'll see what happens with both teams. And last but not least, WWE got the Royal Rumble coming up. And what's your thoughts on this Royal Rumble? There's rumors that the WrestleMania might be a triple threat match between Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes, and even The Rock.
I honestly don't think Rock is going to be involved at all. I think him coming back was a tease just to get fans excited. But I don't think he'll be involved in this WrestleMania, man. And I'll put money on that. I'll put money that Rock will not be at this WrestleMania coming up. I think it will
be, you might
be
right,
Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, and probably CM Punk. I think those probably will be the three names that will be involved in that triple threat if that does happen.
Well, the CM Punk, he should be fighting Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins is hurt. Seth Rollins, let me see, he's out of action with an MCL and a meniscus injury.
Ooh, he might be sidelined for several months.
So that's basically gonna kill the potential feud, you know, WrestleMania match between CM Punk and him.
Yeah.
What they could do, what they
could
do.
Even Randy Orton being in that.
Well, like, you know what they could do is they could have Seth Rollins announce that he's not going to be able to you know, do the thing, and before he announces, you could have Damian Priest crash in on him instead of him just relinquishing the title yet again.
That could happen.
That would, it would make sense for Damian Priest to cash in there, because it makes no sense to vacate the title, you know, have somebody win it, and then have Damian Priest cash in like right afterwards. Or let's say for argument's sake, let's say it is The Rock versus Roman Reigns. Rock finally wins a title at WrestleMania, which I don't think that's going to happen, even though, you know, I'm rooting for that, but that's not going to happen. Because mainly, I don't think it's important to The Rock. Rock knows, you know, he's a legend. You know, he's going to try to elevate his cousin to an even higher level than he is right now. And so even, let's say, for example, Rock won the title, Damian Priest would just cash in on him on the same night at WrestleMania and lose the title right then and there. But, yeah, it looks like right now CM Punk's going to face somebody for the title, whether it's Roman Reigns or whoever is going to be the champion coming into WrestleMania, you know.
Yeah,
but,
we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see indeed. But, yeah, let's give our thoughts, our predictions right now. Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. I got Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I got KO.
Mm-hmm. Unless if Logan Paul finds a way to win and then they make him lose at WrestleMania. I mean, that could be a possibility also. So right now, I guess I'm going to stick with Kevin Owens, but I could see Logan Paul somehow holding on to it and lose at WrestleMania, but I'm going to stick with my gut. Then you got Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton versus AJ Styles versus LA Knight. We all know Roman Reigns is going to retain it.
Roman Reigns will retain that.
The undisputed WWE Universal Championship. I mean, let's be real about this.
Yeah,
Women's Royal Rumble. Who you got?
Man, Bianca's in there, right?
Yes, she is. It's so far the people who are announced is Bayley, Nia Jax, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, and Maxine Dupree. No relations to LA Knight because he's no longer her brother. When he was Max Dupree.
Right. Damn, that's tough. That's a tough one.
Repeat that?
It's tough. I would lean towards Bianca.
Didn't she win two in a row already?
I think did she win two? I know she won one of them.
She probably won one. She probably didn't win two. Let me see. You know what? I'm going to pick a weird pick.
Who?
Maybe Bayley. That way she'll split up from the damage control. She'll go on the other brand, most likely, and be a baby face, or she stays on Raw and fights Io Shirai. Basically, she's a baby face anyway, and she feuds with Damage Control.
Yeah, that might happen. I'm going with Bianca though.
Let me see. Let me see, how many times has she won Royal Rumble? She won it 2 years ago.
Won it last year again.
That's a good question. That's what I got to find out myself. Wasn't it Rhea Ripley? I think wasn't it Rhea Ripley?
Oh, yeah, it was Rhea. Yeah, it was. She fought Charlotte.
Yeah, she fought Charlotte. Let me see.
I think Bianca wants that title from Bianca and Rhea would be a nice match.
Repeat that?
Bianca against Rhea would be a nice WrestleMania match.
Yeah, that, it definitely would. Let's see. I'm going to go back just to confirm it. Yes, Rhea Ripley won. She eliminated Liv Morgan to win the Women's Money in the Bank, Women Royal Rumble. And I'm looking at this thing. Bray Wyatt, that was Bray Wyatt's last match, the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
Oh yeah.
And Roman Reigns defended the title against Sami Zayn. No, actually. Against Kevin Owens, I should say. Because Sami Zayn was still on his side at that time. Or was that the day? I think that was the day when Sami Zayn turned on him, if I'm not mistaken. Or was that Elimination Chamber?
I don't think it was that Royal Rumble.
It might have been Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Royal Rumble might have been when he was attacking him, maybe. Kevin Owens attacked him, and he proved himself that he was part of the Bloodline.
Yeah, I think that's when he kicked he did something to Kevin to KO.
Think so.
To help Roman.
Oh, what's that Survivor Series? I mean, it's all jumbled up in my mind now. And it was just last year. But, okay, so you pick Bianca, I pick Bailey, and how about the men's one? Here's who the men so far, who announced: Akira Tozawa, Otis, Chad Gable, Tyre, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, CM Punk, or Cody Rhodes. There's more than that, but these are the people who are announced so far.
CM Punk.
I think you have to have CM Punk win it. You know, finish his story. You know, finish or start his story. The match he quit on 10 years ago. Quit the company and all that. Yeah, it would be poetic justice for him to win the Royal Rumble. 10 years to when he left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense for him to win it. I can't see a surprise person winning it. I don't think Rock would win it. Brock Lesnar might pop up, but I don't think he'll win it. I'd say CM Punk. It makes more sense for CM Punk to win it. And that way it ensures he main events WrestleMania. And I think that would be the first time he ever won Royal Rumble, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think he's ever won Royal Rumble. Let me go back. Let me go and check his stuff. WWE. He's never won Royal Rumble, as I suspected.
So
he's won the WWE title twice. He won the World Heavyweight title 3 times. He won the ECW title once. Intercontinental Champion once. One time World Champion, Tag Team Champion with Kofi. Won the Money in the Bank in 2008-2009. So he's never won Royal Rumble.
Yeah, so I think he'll win it this time.
Yeah, makes sense. And then shifting gears to TNA. TNA, you know, they had the TNA Hard to Kill pay-per-view event, and Dolph Ziggler finally debuted with the company.
In TNA or AEW?
No, TNA.
Oh, why was I thinking AEW for some reason?
Because I was going to say AEW, but then I corrected myself.
No, I thought it was AEW that he debuted in.
Well, yeah, that's what we all assume. We all assume he would do that, but he popped up, you know, and he's using his real name, Nick Namath, the Wanted Man, Nick Namath. And Dana Brooke, her name is Ash by Elegance, which people are criticizing her, thinking she stole Timeless Toni Storm's Hollywood starlet, you know, from 1930s gimmick. So here's what went down in the Hard to Kill pay-per-view event. Steve Maclin defeated Rich Swann, and Steve Maclin would confront Nick Namath, on TNA, basically saying, you know, that he's a phony, you know, and that basically after he's done with him, people are going to wonder whatever happened to Dolph Ziggler. But Dolph Ziggler hit him with the zigzag, but he called it a different name. I forgot what was the name of it. I forgot what he called it. Oh, the Danger Zone. That's what he called it. The System, Eddie Edwards and Brian Myers, formerly known as what's the name of his character in WWE. Kurt Hawkins, he defeated Frankie Kazarian and Eric Young. Crazy Steve defeated Tommy Dreamer in a no disqualification match for the TNA Digital Media Championship. Giselle Shaw defeats Aisha Edwards, Danny Luna, Jody Threat, Tasha Steeles, and Zaya Brookside to determine who's the number one contender for the TNA Knockouts World Champion. PCO defeated Dirty Dangle, formerly known as Fandangle. So you got a battle of former WWE guys. PCO, I think, was the Mountie and was one of the Ruggiero brothers. This guy's still fighting, he's in his 50s. Also Oleg Prudis also lost also. Rhino, Jake something, PCO, oh, he's doing double duty. He defeated the Alpha Bravo, Oleg Prudis, and Dirty Dangle by pinfall. Decay defeated MK Ultra. Sound like a Mortal Kombat and Killer Instinct alliance or something. This was for the TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championship. So Decay, which has Havoc and Rosemary, they are the new champions. Chris Sabin defeats Hijo del Vikingo. And Kushida to retain the TNA X Division Championship. Josh Alexander defeats Alex Hammerstone. ABC is easy as 1-2-3, but they defeated the Radicals. Oh, I should say Rascals. I think we confused with the Radicals from WCW and the WWE. The Laredo Kid and Mike Bailey and the Grizzled Young Veterans. This was a fatal four-way for the TNA World Tag Team Championships. Jordan Grace defeated Trinity, formerly known as Naomi, to become the new TNA Knockouts World Champion. Jordan Grace's Call Your Shot Championship match, which is basically she cashed in their version of the Money in the Bank, basically. And this is expected to be Trinity's last match with TNA, which some people are expecting maybe she might return to WWE for the Royal Rumble and come back to the company. And then last but not least, Moose defeated Alex Shelley to become the champion, the TNA World Champion again. This was Moose's Feast or Fired World Title match. And after that, that's when Dolph Ziggler, now known as Nick Namath, made his debut with TNA. That's basically it. One more thing. I don't know if you heard, but the Emmy show was on Martin Luther King's Day, which was January 15th of this year. But do you know what debuted 50 years ago on TV?
Debuted 50 years ago?
Mm-hmm. On that day? On Martin Luther King's Day? Well, actually, it wasn't Martin Luther King Day at that time. But
what TV show?
Mm-hmm.
50 years ago.
I'll give you three guesses.
The Jeffersons?
No, not a bad guess. Got two more. Wait a minute. Jefferson was, I think, the year following. I think Jefferson was 75. So that's not a bad guess at all. Obviously, the Jeffersons were already on All in the Family already at that time. Jefferson's debuted a year later. So next year is the 50th anniversary of the Jeffersons' debut.
Sanford and Son?
Sanford and Son already debuted, I think, in 72. You got one more guess. These are all great guesses.
On the MLK Day, 1975?
1974. The show debuted January 15th, 1974.
Man, I don't even know. Where you get this question from?
All right, well, I'll tell you.
I have one more guess.
Okay, I thought you quit.
This is one. No, I didn't quit.
I said you were a presidential candidate. You know, you're suspending your candidacy.
No. This is a show you really like.
Perhaps.
Give me a clue.
It was a very popular show. It debuted January 15, 1974.
That's, you already said that. Give me a clue as far as characters or something in the show. Give me something to work with.
It's a show, you know, about families and
happy
know.
Days.
Is that your final answer?
Yes. I was about to say Good Times and Happy Days, yeah.
Well, Good Times, I think, is this year also. 50 years ago, I think, this year also.
So it could be one of the two then.
Good Times, I think, did debut in 1974 as well.
Wow. So it could be one of the two.
As a matter of fact, next month. So I'm...
So then it's Happy Days. You just gave me it.
I gave you an answer. Hey, I'm being fair. You got it.
Oh, man.
So it was Happy Days.
Wow. I never knew that. I never knew it debuted on Martin Luther King Day.
But remember, Martin Luther King Day wasn't there at that time. Martin Luther King Day, I think, started like 1980.
Right.
You know, like after the Stevie Wonder song, which was basically lobbying for them to have the Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
So let me just check to see when did it officially. So Reagan signed it into law in 83, but I think it was finally observed in 86, from what I'm seeing here. So yeah, Happy Days debuted 50 years ago.
Good to know.
So yeah, there's another classic show. Obviously, you know the Fonz was a very popular character. He was supposed to be just this one-off character, but then the popularity, you know, morphed him into the star of the show, because the show was originally, you know, centered around Richie Cunningham. And then the same thing happened for Family Matters with Urkel. Urkel was supposed to be a one-shot character, pop up, and the rest is history. And then I heard the same thing for Cheers, even though I didn't really watch Cheers, but same thing happened with Frasier. Frasier was supposed to be this one-time character who was supposed to date Diane, and you know, the rest is history with him. And then his spinoff into another show. And then now they revived it recently, now that I think about it. So,
yeah.
You just never know. Like, you just got to take your opportunities while you can and make the most of it. And who knows what can happen. But with that, anything you'd like to say before we head out?
Everyone, enjoy the rest of their weekend. Check your local listings for my show iMac and come back here. Check out Sports Every Legend every Saturdays at 11, only on Block Talk Radio.
All right, you heard the guy. Check out his show, iMac. Check the local listings for that. And, of course, come back, I would say, in 2 weeks. We got the Royal Rumble coming up. We'll be back in like 2 weeks. So hope that you all tune in then, and we'll give you our Royal Rumble recap and review. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.
Monday, Monday, happy day. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy day. Thursday, Friday, happy day. The weekend comes, my cycle hums. Gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when I hold you. Feels so right, you can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all free song. These days are ours. I've been free. These days are ours. Tell them with me. Gonna cruise her around the town. Show everybody what I found. Rock and roll with all my friends. Hoping the music never ends. Wednesday, happy day. Thursday, Friday, happy day. Saturday, what a day. You can all weep with you. These days are ours. Share them with me. These days are ours. Happy and free. Hello, sunshine. Goodbye, rain. She's wearing my school ring on the chain. She's my city. I'm a man. I'm gonna love her all I can. These days are ours. when I hold you. So right, it can't be wrong. Rocking and rolling all week long. These days are ours.